On May 31st, the solemnity of Pentecost, we were able to offer Mass with people physically present here in the cathedral for the first time in 11 weeks. 77 days without being able to offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I clearly remember distributing Holy Communion that weekend and witnessing people receiving our Lord, some with tears in their eyes. And then on June 14th, we were able to celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, which included, as I think some of you know by your own participation, which included a Eucharistic procession through the streets of downtown. It was particularly rich for me that day when we took Almighty God to the doorway of Lucky Leaf. It's a great day. That day marked the beginning of the year of the Eucharist, as declared by Bishop Daly, for the faithful throughout the Diocese of Spokane. One of the ways that we are observing the year of the Eucharist is to highlight a so-called Eucharistic saint each month throughout the year. And this month, we are focusing on Saint Juliana of Liege. And her image has been here in the sanctuary now since the 1st of July, and will be here until the end of July, where we make room for our next Eucharistic saint. We know that Juliana was born near Liege, Belgium, in 1191. And at the age of 5, she became an orphan and was sent to a convent of Augustinian nuns who cared for her. At this particular time in history, much unlike today, at this particular time in history, Liege was a kind of Eucharistic center in Europe. Eminent theologians illustrated the supreme value of the Blessed Sacrament. And small groups of women lived together. If I remember correctly, I think they were called Beguines. They lived together and prayed together, devoted themselves to charitable works and Eucharistic worship. Juliana herself took on the habit and became an Augustinian nun, where she continued to foster her devotion to the Eucharist through regular adoration and prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. And in the course of all that, it occurred to her, sadly, that the Church didn't have at that time a particular liturgical feast in honor of the Eucharist. And so for some 40 years, she prayed and she petitioned and she cajoled ecclesiastical leaders to institute just such a feast. Well, her efforts paid off when the Bishop of Liege instituted a feast day, and then neighboring bishops, and then eventually and finally in 1264, Pope Urban IV instituted the Solemnity of Corpus Christi as a holy day of obligation for the entire universal church. He wrote, "Although the Eucharist is celebrated solemnly every day, we deem it fitting that at least once a year it be celebrated with greater honor and solemn commemoration." Juliana had a profound sense of Christ's presence in the Eucharist. Where did that come from? I would argue that certainly one of the places that it came from was the fact that she was the kind of good, rich soil that our Lord speaks about in today's gospel. Jesus preached about different kinds of soil that receive God's word in varying degrees of success. But, he says, the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Juliana of Liege heard the word and she understood it. She heard Jesus tell us, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Juliana of Liege allowed belief in the real presence to take root in her own life and to grow and thrive, which produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. I suspect that if St. Juliana of Liege was forced to go 77 days without receiving the Holy Eucharist, she too would be teary-eyed when she received again. My hope and my prayer is that this year of the Eucharist will help all of us to more closely imitate St. Juliana in becoming rich and receptive soil for the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. St. Juliana of Liege, pray for us.